Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we take a look at the second of the O Antiphons, and it is this. And by the way, I want to encourage you, you can go online and just type in O Antiphons, and you'll get them for each day. Or you can go to the USCCB website, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. You can go to that website and they'll have the O antiphons, just a capital O, that's all you need, and then a space, and then antiphons. Read them over. This is a call to the whole church to pray this together, and what it is like when millions of people are crying out to God with one voice. God hears every single voice. He doesn't just hear a mass of voices. But to stand with brothers and sisters all over the world and to cry out to God to come. O Adonai, Lord, Adonai, and leader of the house of Israel, who appeared to Moses in the flames of the burning bush and gave him the law on Sinai, come and redeem us with outstretched arm. Come and save us. Come and redeem us. Come and make us good. Come and help us. Make up for our lack, our weakness, our stupidity, our vacillation, our many promises to you that we've broken. Please come. Come and redeem us with outstretched arm. Make that your prayer today. Let's take a look at the opening prayer for today's Mass now. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that we who are weighed down from of old by slavery beneath the yoke of sin, and we are, more people than you know, even some very famous people. Sometimes it's the fame that trips you up, gets you into trouble. But there are many, many, many people who are weighed down by slavery beneath the yoke of sin. If you're in that position, do you know you can be free? You really can be free. God wants you free. Go to him. We who are weighed down from of old by slavery beneath the yoke of sin may be set free by the newness of the long-awaited nativity of your only begotten Son. Brothers and sisters, those of you who are in darkness, depressed, frightened, angry, bitter, jealous, and you can't break out of your prison, or sometimes you don't want to break out of your prison. But God wants to break you out of that prison. And if you turn to him and ask him, he will do it. I don't know exactly how, and I don't know the day and the hour and the moment when he will, but he will set you free. Please don't live in darkness. Please don't live in the darkness of sin. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 5 to 8. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell in security. This is the name they give him, the Lord, our justice. Therefore the days will come, says the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought the children of Israel out from the land of Egypt, but rather, as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of the house of Israel up from the land of the north, and from all the lands to which I banished them, they shall again live on their own land. People have been dispersed. They started to follow other gods. God calls them back to himself. We are very dispersed here in the year 2014. We are very dispersed. God calls us back to himself. And he promises us all kinds of good things if we would but follow him. But sometimes we value our autonomy, our independence, more than we want the good. Many people say, it won't be that good. We have no idea what we're saying. No idea. Sometimes sin can twist us. Sometimes it deals with us internally, and it just becomes like a barren wasteland inside, and we can't see the good. But God is greater than all that. All we have to do is to get out, even between clenched teeth. All we have to do is be able to say, Lord, please be my Savior. Lord, please help me. I've made a mess of things. Please help me. That's all we have to do. And he will come. Psalm 72, justice shall flourish in his time and fullness of peace forever. Justice shall flourish in his time and fullness of peace forever. For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save. Blessed be the Lord, who alone does wondrous deeds, and blessed forever be his glorious name. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. I want to see the earth full of his glory. I fail every day to surrender to God the way I need to. Every day I fail. But when I rise up again and say, please forgive me, let's try it again, he is very near. He is very near. Because he loves us, and even more than we do, he wants us with him for all eternity. In the Gospel of Matthew, we had the genealogy yesterday. Now we have the account. In this family line, we have the account now of the birth of the Messiah. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. He sees that she's pregnant. I can't imagine what a battle Joseph had. So he doesn't want to expose her to being stoned to death or some other form of discipline, shall we say. So he decides that he will divorce her quietly. And such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Joseph must have had such mixed emotions, such incredible emotions. This woman whom he dearly loved. And when she comes back from caring for her cousin Elizabeth, he recognizes that she's pregnant. And he knows he's not the father. What other conclusion could he draw? And he still loves her dearly, but at the same time, he's infuriated, I'm sure. He doesn't know what to do, yet he chooses not to expose her to public shame. What a man of character. Even though under the law he had the right to, he refuses to expose her publicly and decides to divorce her quietly. He makes a very good choice in an impossibly difficult situation. And so the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He has a dream. The angel speaks to him. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. he took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. I can't imagine what those times must have been like for Mary and for Joseph. But when the Lord revealed himself, they followed. Turned their plans upside down, inside out, they followed. Do we acknowledge God is Lord of our lives? When things don't go the way we want, do we turn to him and ask him, Lord, are you acting here? Or is there something else that I should do? I don't want to be an obstacle to what you want to accomplish, but whatever the circumstances are, this doesn't make sense, Lord. Help me. I will do your will, but help me that I might not walk in darkness. And God will help. You know what I think, brothers and sisters? I think that our faith is not very strong. To believe God's word, it's right in front of us every day. Do you read the Bible every day? Do you allow God's word, God's priorities, God's values? Are you allowing them to take their rightful place in your own lives? Or do you just read the word and say, well, read the scripture? No, no, no. The word of God is like, it's like a seed, and it goes into your heart. What kind of soil is your heart? Is it ready to receive the word of God? Is it ready to be open to where that word might lead you? Is it ready to obey? That's what you should be doing during this Advent, readying your heart so that when the Messiah comes, in a sense, he finds you watching and waiting and ready to do his will. That's the call on us. Brothers and sisters, love your families, buy gifts, do whatever you need to make it a blessed, blessed day. But please put God first. Please. Please put God first in your festivities and in your life. I remember as a child how when we were putting up the tree, we actually had three trees, smaller trees, but three trees. And the manger was pretty big. And the manger was relatives as well as my father had provided a number of the figures and the manger. And it was all set up. And it was for us right there. And I never thought about it at the time. But I realized just by the way in which our living room was decorated, the manger assumed a central place. We had a couple Christmases where there were disasters, but for the most part, the manger assumed a central place. And we loved it. God was center right there. Now, all in the midst of all the gift giving and exchanging, the manger was right there. Brothers and sisters, Pope Benedict, when he was our Holy Father, asked us to set up the manger, to keep it there all through Advent. If you're late, start now. Get that manger ready that you might welcome him not just into your home, but into your heart. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.